Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
It's time for college basketball.
It's time for college basketball, where points are scored.
Two or three. It's time for college basketball on TV right now.
It's time for college basketball.
It's bracket time.
Did you pick an upset? If you did, then oh boy, time for the game.
On WGR.
You know, I will point out, you know, Jeremy was in there with Nick on that song. You know, sometimes when musicians get older, they don't have the same musical range in their voice. Jeremy, I'm sure you can still pull that one off.
Yeah, you know, that's a track. What's Nick Mendola featuring me? That's what it would
featuring
be.
Featuring you.
On the CD, that's what it would say.
Yeah. So Nick gets most of the royalties that way.
Yeah.
Wow. Nick is up. By the way, Nick Mendola, friend of the show, former colleague, worker, co-worker, whatever, devoted Cubs fan, is on the Western Hotline. Hello, Mr. Mendola. Did that bring back memories? Was Jeremy easy to work with?
Listen, I'm an old man now, and I'm a mess. Like, everything makes me emotional, and I started laughing so hard that I was tearing up a little bit there. Also, why does CBS only play the upset or the instrumental? Why do they use the words? So weird.
That was
weird,
odd.
Guys. Yeah, yeah. Do you remember? Do you guys remember the Saturday Night Live skit where they did the John Tesh? the guy comes. Oh, you have to check it. The for the NBA theme, they do John Tesh in a room, and it's his brother.
It's Tim Robinson, right? It's the guy from I Think You Should Leave. Which they just announced the second season, which is great news. And it's Gimme the basketball.
I haven't seen that. I gotta watch it.
So good. It's so good. All right, Nick Mendola of, as you mentioned, a number of the different places, NBC Sports,
NBC
soccer,
Sports, yep.
And FC Buffalo as well, right? I mean, you guys are. I'm seeing FC Buffalo in my news feed a lot lately. It's been like good news for you guys, right?
Yeah. So like the good news is we've had a men's team for 12 years, and we're 2-0-1. We're driving to Pittsburgh basically after this phone call, and. You know, big weekend for us, but we started a women's team, and all they've done is won their first four games.
Wow.
There's a power ranking that came out, and they're second in New York State, second in the country, excuse me. So I just kind of want to shout them out and say congratulations. I'm super proud of them because we brought like six local women together to kind of make us try to plan a perfect team, and so far they've literally been perfect. So congratulations to them.
Very cool. Awesome. Well, there's soccer on our televisions today, tomorrow. I checked the calendar, Nick. It's every day until June 23rd, 24th, because exactly. Honestly, that's all I was looking for. Is like, when's the next time I'm not going to have a soccer game on? Because the Euro 2020 in 2021, because it got pushed off last year. So, you know, it's back. We're back to a tournament. It's not the World Cup. It's the European World Cup, basically. But it's a big, big tournament, and you get, you know, what percentage of the world's best players? Like 60%, 80%? What would you say?
It's high. It's one of those things where most games you're going to watch, you're watching one of the best teams in the world. I mean, that's just it's where things are now. It's probably the second deepest continent, confederation, as they call it. South America is probably a little bit deeper, but that's only because there's 10 nations in South America, or 10 to 13 nations in South America, and most of them are amazing. So it's so much fun. You get the big games. You get the big games early. There's a group with, like, just absolutely insane. You know, you're familiar with the group stage, obviously, from the World Cup.
Yeah, Group F is – Nick, there are groups of death. This is the group of death group of death.
Right. So, fun story. The other side of Mendola, which I'm sure, as you know, Mendola is Polish. The other side of the Mendola family is Hungarian. And they make their, like, one of their first big tournaments. And they get to play Portugal, France, and Germany. It's like basically, yeah. Oh, it's so nice to be here. Let's see how this goes.
That's a rough draw for who? Portugal, probably, most of all. I mean, I saw France is the favorite. Germany's always right there. So, I mean, and Portugal is...
And Portugal won the last one.
Yeah, right.
Like, they're not... I don't think they're going to get out of the group. Or, sorry, I don't think they're going to finish in the 1-2 spot of the group. But they literally kind of went on this little historical run and won the last one. So that's what you're talking about here. Super awesome tournament.
Yeah. All right, so the tournament starts today with Turkey and Italy. And, you know, if we're talking about favorites, I mentioned France, mentioned a couple of the others. What to you is the storyline of this Euro 2020? Sometimes we can make it like we do in American sports about can Ronaldo lead them to victory, which he did, you know, Portugal, as you mentioned, won the last one. So... Who's in the spotlight? Is it as it always is about England, Harry Kane, England? Or is that the biggest story?
Yeah. And I hate saying that because they get all the love. And my boss is English. I know he's been on your show, Joe Prince Wright. But, yeah, that's the one. They're in a group with Scotland. They're in a group that they would be expected to win, even though Croatia and Czech Republic are quite good, too. I mean, again, no one's bad here. But they're hosting. They've recently been in the headlines because some of their players had been during the Premier League season and for a long time racially abused online, and they decided to kneel after the opening whistle, and some of their fans booed them. So it's been like England is having that story come back. Not that it ever went away. So it's really fascinating. How are they dealing with that? You're always under the most pressure. The big term you'll probably hear a lot is it's coming home, which is just as obnoxious as it sounds. It's like Leaf fans, right?
Yeah.
They started the game. This trophy's coming home, guys. But at the same time, it's funny when you hear that and you go, well, yeah, that's accurate. If they won, it would be going home. So, yeah, I think all eyes are on them. And then it's Belgium, who has so many just great players. In soccer a lot, we talk about golden generations, right? And except here in Buffalo, it's like when your hockey team has a bunch of number one draft picks and you're expected to kill it for a while. Belgium has everything it takes to get there. And I think there's just when you've got nations where the pressure is just so huge on them. And remember, this is all anybody's going to be talking about. I work the Olympics for 21 straight days right after this tournament. And here people are, you know, super pumped about it. The Olympics are second to this.
Yeah.
In so many of these nations, and that's what's wild about it.
This, you know, you mentioned Belgium. Is Kevin De Bruyne healthy?
Well, right. So fractured orbital bone or whatever it was in the Champions League final, but the expectation is that he is going to play and be at, you know, as close to 100% as you could be for that. Just a fantastic player, the artist of it. He's the one guy. I try not to come on your guys' shows and just be like, Here's your American equivalent of Kevin De Bruyne, right? And this is one of those ones where you could pick literally the most creative player in any sport that maybe doesn't get the love for just how good he is because he makes it look so easy. I mean, his feet are like us playing catch with a ball. It's insane.
Yeah, and you know the Belgium team, you mentioned their roster, lots of studs. I feel like maybe some people remember the last World Cup reading Lukaku's piece in the Players' Tribune about how much it meant to him, and just it was a stunning piece that he wrote for them. You know, he's a player worth rooting for, worth liking. Belgium seems like a safe one. I can never decide if I want to root for England because I think your Leafs comparison is perfect. I told Howard to start saying it's coming home.
I know. I love that story. That was awesome, Nick. I'm so glad you mentioned that.
If you want to have a take on the Euro, just say it's coming home. You're talking about it is just like Leafs fans thinking that they deserve the cup,
yeah,
even though they haven't won it since the 60s.
It's like it's a birthright. It's their cup.
Yes, yes, yes.
Well, here's the crazy thing, too, and I think there are some serious – if you want to go down this road, and I'm not trying to stop people from rooting for England, but there is a real Leafs thing going on here because you look at this team and they play in the – you know, there's, I think, what, five or six Premier League teams in London alone last year, and it's the most watched league in the world. Their players all get just a little bit overrated, like when it's come for the soccer equivalent of trades, the transfer market. Their players all get overhyped a little bit if they're English. Like, if you're on the English national team, you might cost $70 million, even though you're equivalent to a player from Croatia that someone would pay $50 for, just because that's how important this team is, how many jerseys you're going to sell, how important it is to be showing the rest of England that there are English players on your team. So the pressure there, that's kind of the comparison. Every national team has pressure in Europe, of course. This is the focal point for everybody in your nation when there's a big tournament.
Whoop.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to reestablish Nick.
We lost him.
Wasn't my fault. I didn't touch anything.
All right.
See, I like the England discussion because that's a great analogy about the Maple Leafs and the birthright. Like, that's...
Yeah.
It's our cup. Well, yeah, no. But the and you always it feels like they always think they're better than maybe other people think they are. And that, as a non-expert on soccer, I was just always took it for granted England was one of the best soccer-playing countries in the entire world.
Yeah, I mean, as Nick points out, like, the biggest league, but the league is comprised of an awful lot of different players from around the world,
oh,
of course.
Him? Okay, I think we lost you, Nick. You're back.
It's okay. Quick, long story short, I could actually root for England, and I'd be happy when they won for about 5 minutes until their fans made me regret it. But it would be a cool story.
Why don't they win? I'm sure there are books written about this, right? Why doesn't England win?
Well, so one thing, and this is – I feel bad for the England fans listening because it's a little bit overplayed, but three or four times they just lost in penalties. I mean, it's such a crapshoot. You get a good team, you make it. They've had – you know, David Beckham maybe has two red cards in his career, one's in a major tournament. There's just been – there is a little bit of an element of the great team that is kind of cursed. And I just think as much as I'm a big numbers guy. You know, I love the analytics. I love digging into it. When you have this much pressure, though, I know you can't really quantify it, right? You can't really put it down, and you just have to kind of assume in your head that this plays some role that you can't quite nail down. I do think that's a huge part of it. I mean, they have one of the best strikers in the world, one of the best center backs in the world. Their midfield's a real issue, and I think ultimately why they won't win this year. But they're always very, very good. So, and also there could only be one win in every Euro, and it's every 4 years. So, right. I mean, that's the other thing, right?
Right. There's a lot. You know, you mentioned they've lost in penalties. It's like the Leafs with bad matchups in the first round, losing in seven games. Like, sorry, you know, there's a little bit of bad luck involved there. Any players on maybe some of the lesser-known teams worth watching? Like, if you're you know, I think a lot of these games offer the opportunity to see some great players. I think about Luka Modric with Croatia at the last World Cup. Yeah. You know, they beat England in the semifinal on the way to the final. So maybe a couple names of guys on the lesser known squads.
Sure, there is a player on Sweden who I think is absolutely phenomenal. He's on Juventus. He's one of those guys who, down the line, when your Ronaldos are gone or whatever, you're probably going to look and say, you know what? Wow. I didn't realize quite how good this Dejan Kulusevski is. So I think he's a fantastic player, and I'm excited about watching him. One that, if you're a soccer fan, it's going to sound like I'm cheating because he's a superstar, like an absolute monster. But because Bayern Munich is so good, I don't think enough people pay attention to Robert Lewandowski of Poland. And I know Poland's kind of a fun team in Buffalo because when you look back at Euro and our European heritage, the people who came here, Poland, Germany, Italy, these are people, teams that get pulled behind here, but Poland's the least celebrated of the three. And this guy is just like 6'4" monster who stands in front of goal, but also has this, I don't know, agility that betrays his size, if that makes sense. So those are two guys I'd point to just because, again, this is a tournament with so many giant nations, Jeremy, that I was literally thinking through all the teams. And I'm like, oh, they would know him. They would know him. They would know him. So it's hard to find the true, you know, underdogs.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm excited for it. I want to ask you about the World Cup. Howard asked me a question about the World Cup. You know, the schedule, we're looking at November 2022.
Yeah, you're impressed, right, Nick? I had a World Cup question.
Yeah, the question was, what's going on with the World Cup? So
how was that for really knowing your stuff, like really hitting the deep, hard questions?
So before,
that's like a sting song, very deep, yeah.
So before we get to the U.S. men's team side of it, the tournament itself, November 2022, and are we racked with scandal yet, or are we still waiting for some of those?
Well, the scandal's already here. So they award the tournament that's always in the summer, and they award it to Qatar, and everyone says, hey, you guys can't do that. And they're like, no, we'll play it in January. Well, what do you mean? Why are you doing that? Oh, because it's like 150 degrees in July, and people might die. Oh, you got a good point there. So listen, while you're at it, there was a bribery thing, and yeah, they really didn't win the vote. They just used a lot of their money to get there. And then on top of that, you know what would be really cool is if they use slave labor to build their stadia. And while they're doing that, just kind of like ignore all the dying people. So what's been amazing is you have these nations of the biggest and most famous players in the world, 2 years after saying, hey, that shouldn't have happened because you cheated. I mean, the U.S. was one of the teams that was bidding to host that tournament. They got it for 2026, probably because they said, hey, you want to see bribery? I'm kidding. But what's kind of amazing now is you're seeing clubs, Norway, they're not in the tournament for Euro, but they all wore shirts basically saying, you know, slave labor's bad or all of those things I talked about. And it's still going to happen there because this is the most important sporting event in the world. It's every 4 years. It's the sport that most countries love more than anyone else. And all these players, you know, they'd love to boycott it, but they'd also only get one of these chances. Most of them are only going to be on one World Cup roster in their lives. So, you know, it's really, really interesting. We'll be rooting for the U.S. like crazy, but when it gets here and before the game, they're showing these stadiums and they kind of have to in their journalistic duties mention, by the way, you know, 200 people died building this, and yes, it's 2021. It's kind of nuts, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously, like Howard, when you asked and I said there's a lot going on with it,
I didn't realize what I meant. I had no idea the depths of what the answer was, by the way.
That's what I meant.
That's some pretty heavy-duty stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
but the U.S. is good now. So
That's what I was going to say. The bad news is you might want to boycott it. The good news is, or bad news, the U.S. is going to go to this one, right?
Yeah. I mean, the U.S. should qualify. That's one of the reasons why they're missing the World Cup and why, you know, you called me up. We talk soccer maybe once, twice, three times a year. And that year was four because the U.S. is never, ever, even at its relatively still growing standard in our country, never supposed to miss a World Cup. They are the richest country, and 3.5 teams make every World Cup. So what that means is out of the 6 to 8 teams in the final round, out of North and Central America, Mexico always makes it, the U.S. always makes it, and then Costa Rica, Honduras, Panama, Jamaica, but they're such a level down in terms of resources for the most part. You know, even if they do have the talent, you know, it's sad to say, right? But we're rich here. As a whole, our federation sets our players up in a situation where they should never fail unless they hire a bad coach or two bad coaches in the same window.
Sorry.
What is that?
Well played. Oh, it took me a split second. Well played.
Anyway.
You know the famous Arrested Development GIF or GIF where Michael Cera walks in the room with his book bag and just falls face down on him? I literally almost just hung up the phone and did that, like with a Sabres logo on my head. As you said that, my heart broke a little bit. So, yeah, they're really good, though. This is the most amount of, and this is the fun part for American fans, and why I think ultimately we have the best chance to capture the most fans this time around. Our best players are all young, okay? And they're all scorers. I mean, with the exception, of course, you have a good goalkeeper here and a good defender there, but Christian Pulisic, of course, everyone's heard of him. With Chelsea, Giovanni Reina is 18 and starting for a Champions League team. You know, and there are players beyond that. I won't get into the names that people haven't heard, but yeah, it's a very exciting time. And if you, all you had to see was highlights of that USA Mexico CONCACAF Nations League final last week, which was literally the one of the craziest games of any sporting event I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, for me, Nick, I think Pulisic is a very big part of it because he's not just the U.S.'s, you know, arguably best player, what our best player. I mean, he is an international. He's on the level. You know, it's not like, well, he's good for an American. This guy's on the level internationally.
It's to the point where, you know how when we talk about, is this guy as good as Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel or whatever, and you're trying to put people on that level, and you have to think for a second because you don't want to be laughed out of the room. This is the point I want to make. Pulisic has made more strides for any American player since Clint Dempsey, and he's doing it at a club that is one of the biggest ones in the world. And again, I mentioned Giovanni Arena, son of a former national team captain who basically wrote the coaching education course for the United States on this is how you should make better players, because he was one of the top leaders in U.S. soccer history when he was a player. Giovanni Reyna at 18 years old, I had to think for a second because I thought Christian Pulisic's far and away the best United States player. But in 2 years, is this kid on that level? And do the United States have, kind of like how we saw Belgium creep up, the United States have two of the best players, you know, in North and South America.
And then you start to ask if you might be looking at the start of a golden generation, you hope?
Correct. Yeah. It's earmarked for that. It's to the point, and I know this sounds nuts again, and I'm taking a deep breath before I say it. It will be disappointing if this isn't a golden generation for the United States. It'll mean somebody messed up pretty bad, and probably three or four guys, and a coach, and the entire federation. And the funny part is, every single one of those people listening right now would probably say, yeah, I would really have to mess this up. Yeah. So it's exciting. Though everybody's pointing towards this. If you, like, I run a minor league soccer team here, right? I talk to a lot of guys who run, you know, teams and divisions higher than us. And, you know, you talk to people in Major League Soccer, you talk to businesses, everybody's looking at 2026 when the World Cup's going to be in the United States, Canada, and Mexico. And they think it can be as significant for this country as 1996 was when we hosted the World Cup.
Yeah.
And MLS, and MLS came out of that. And then shortly after, you had Brandi Chastain. You guys remember that? The U.S. women win the World Cup. She makes a penalty, takes her shirt off to reveal her sports bra. literally, not that it wouldn't have happened anyways, but wasn't there a story like it changed sports bras forever? And one quick funny story, very, very quick. We went on that family, what's it called? The family tree tool or whatever it's called. I'm not good at that. And I got
genealogy or whatever, right? Isn't
there it? Is, yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. She's my like third cousin.
Ah.
So, you know,
nice.
I'm going to start taking my shirt off in public places. Very excited. And just say, listen, it's legacy here. It's legacy. I got my sweater on. This is okay.
Yeah. I had a couple things I want to say. You said real quick, we're going to be late, but whatever.
Come on. Seriously, us?
You know, back to, I got a question.
We're actually on time.
Houses, by the way, are you still in your houses?
I am in my house, yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Their dogs are sleeping. No barking dogs. At least not at the
good,
moment.
The babies, then. You've got the chain reaction problem. Yeah.
Let me tell you, we had sleeping babies yesterday, and a dog barked, and it did not. I love these
so
dogs.
Bad.
I got to remind myself I love these dogs. Anyway, on Pulisic, I think I asked you probably a year ago. Maybe, I don't know what the timeline was. Is he the most accomplished? Is he the best American player ever? And it was a little bit of a, maybe, it's kind of tough. Now he's got a Champions League title with him with Chelsea. Granted, you know, like, it would be nice if he scored that goal. He got a good chance. you know, so is he the most accomplished American player ever is the first part. And I haven't seen enough of Gio Reyna. He's over in Bundesliga, of course, with Dortmund,
yeah.
Right? But I'm sure I will over time. So would you say Pulisic is the best player ever and then also immediately predict that he soon is passed?
So that's a really, really, really interesting question. I'm going to say yes and no, which is better than my just straight up no last time, right? But here's why. Clint Dempsey is still the man here. It's still the guy with a legacy, with a career's worth of stuff. And Christian Pulisic's only problem is that he's not 30.
You know, and he hasn't played in a World Cup yet. And once that happens, yeah.
And to be fair to him, it's funny because both him and Clint Dempsey played in that terrible game in Trinidad. Pulisic scored. And you go back and look at the numbers and you think about the fact that he was, I can't remember if he was 17 or 18, whatever he was, He was literally one of the best players in the World Cup qualifying tournament. He's one of the only players who should be absolutely absolved of blame, given his name, or excuse me, his age and the stage. And the fact that he didn't melt at that age after being a part of a program that then basically had to cover its head for years. So, yes, he's got a Champions League. He now has – I actually wrote, if we would have had this conversation the day after that game against Mexico I mentioned, I actually wrote that that was it for him. Whatever happens is icing on the cake. He went from being, you know, the best player on the team to literally a program legend. When you score against Mexico – and when you hear these guys talk about it, Chris Pulisic, like I know him, Christian Pulisic was on the Dan Patrick Show on NBC where I work, cheap plug podcast, and he talked about how he plays for Chelsea in London. And Dan Patrick said, well, compare the U.S.-Mexico rivalry to something in the Premier League. And he's like, look, I'm not saying anything about the Premier League rivalries, but first of all, nations versus clubs is a different vibe in the first place.
Yeah.
And there's and he goes, and there's nothing like it.
You never so leave the nation. You leave a club.
Correct. Yeah, he could go sign for anybody. He is not going to leave the U.S. to sign for Mexico. It's literally illegal, so according to FIFA. So, yeah, that's what I would tell you. You are right, but Clint Dempsey and even, honestly, even Claudio or Gio Reyna's father, Claudio, pretty much set the standard for U.S. players in Europe. But he's there, man, and it would be shocking if he wasn't just out and out the greatest player in U.S. history.
And one last, you mentioned MLS. Is it just me, or I feel like it's not? A lot of people are noticing. Is every goal in MLS scored pretty impressive? Something about the caliber of play, whatever it is, you get like pretty nice golazos. I mean, it's just it seems like a league that has – it's a highlight league, if I could say that.
So this is the very base way to simplify it. There is better talent in that league than there's been ever. And the best part about it is because these American owners are trying to get fans in the seats, they spend a lot more on forwards than defense. So these world-class, these attackers end up in more space on the field than they ever have. And they just try stuff they wouldn't normally try. And I'm not saying the defenders are bad, because they're not. Walker Zimmerman, to me, is maybe one of the most underrated defenders in the world. But what I will tell you is there is an element of you're at your family party playing quarterback with, you know, with kids who are, with the kids. And so you're like, oh, let me see if I can throw this one behind my back, you know.
Right.
And I just think you get that a lot. I mean, Zlatan Ibrahimovic was here a couple years ago. He's 36 years old. He's 6'5". He's done better things in his career than probably almost anyone to play in MLS.
And he just scored legend status goals. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. Those games – and they're so much fun to watch because you now have these superstars who are older. But what you also have is MLS smartly investing in youth. So you're getting players who normally you wouldn't see at in the league before they were 30, and you're getting them at 20 – because it's a stepping stone to Europe. So they come up from Brazil or even from Europe, and you're just seeing these flashy kids just do the dang thing, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Do the dang thing. Okay, I got it.
You know, one last question, sorry.
Hey, man, I'm here till 10. You're doing fine.
There's probably a time where, you know, we all thought, Nick, you probably wanted us to talk this much soccer, and I never thought I would. Then that all happened, and, you know, like, I love it. Are you up and up on F1? Because that's our new love. You know, we're becoming you know, cultured, learned sports fans.
Listen, I got to tell you guys something. I love it. I can't watch it for more than like 10 minutes. I was expecting it to be my thing. It really was. But it's just honestly, I don't know if you guys are aware of this. It's probably going to blow your mind and all the listeners. I have ADHD. And it's one of those things where it's a sport that's been hard for me to focus on for an entire event. But I'm getting there. I love it, though. I saw it in Toronto a few years ago. I went up for a Jays game, and all of a sudden you see cars driving through the streets. And you're like, that's not a Jeep. What are they doing in Canada? And that's when it captured my attention. So if you've never seen it in person, even if you've just never seen one of those cars whir by at 400 million miles an hour, do that.
How loud are they? As loud as NASCAR? I mean, That was the thing. One of the things that impressed me, like, also, like, you got to feel the car go by you because it's just so crazy.
Right. It feels like they actually make the tires are so big to muffle the impact on the earth that they're making. It's so cool.
Usually, when Jeremy brings this up, I always say, "Hey, what's going on with that F1 thing?" And it, you know, that's just the kind of insight I have on these. How do you watch a Cubs game, by the way? If you have ADHD, you can't even watch a full baseball game, right? There's no way.
Well, so here's the thing, and this is the best part, and both of you guys are going to appreciate this, although you're at different ages in your dad journey. For whatever reason, my son doesn't play, and this is the problem baseball is going to have forever. My son has no interest in, well, not no interest. He's not playing baseball in Little League.
Right.
But he'll watch every Cubs game with me, every game, and he'll talk about it. And it's, you know, everybody used to tell baseball, we went to the Jays game the other night, man. Yeah. How, I know it's the thing to say in Buffalo right now, like you've never been to a baseball game and that the Bisons aren't just a step below that anyway, so why haven't you enjoyed that? But we were there for Jays Marlins, and it was so surreal for me because if you guys remember in the early 90s, we were really talked up. I mean, you couldn't get tickets to a Bisons game because everyone assumed that Mr. Rich was gonna seal the deal. And it was kind of improbable that he got us to that stage anyways. But the Marlins were one of the teams. And so that ended up getting a team along with the Rockies. So sitting there watching the Marlins with my son, like super surreal, right? Like, I didn't plan on that happening anytime soon, even though he's 10. It was just something that was so cool, and it started pouring, and I think everybody but 1,000 people left because the Jays were down 5-2. And I'm sitting there with my kid watching Major League Baseball in my hometown, and they walk off, and I'm just like, this is happening. Like, this is – so I hope that this does something for baseball in Buffalo. There's a lot of cool things going on. Shout out to my buddy who runs the Niagara Power over there, and Jock Peterson's dad is his coach.
Oh, wow.
You know, like – That's going on around here. So, you know, it's my hope because I worry about baseball in a huge, huge way. I can't imagine that my kids' kids are going to care unless my kids really work on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, but that was a special moment. I know you guys loved it too.
Yeah, it was fun. Jonathan and I went to one of the Astros games. It was cool. And, I mean, he's 25, but it's still cool going to a baseball game with my kid.
Oh, for sure. I hope my son wants to still see me in 13 years, so congratulations.
Well, I didn't say he was happy to go to the game with me. It was a Father's Day gift, so he was kind of stuck going to the game with me. Hey, get a quick plug in for FC Buffalo. And I forgot. I know I asked you this last time I ran into you. Fans, no fans, what's going on with your games?
Yeah, so the cool thing is we're at All-High Stadium. We play Saturday and Sunday. It's a double-edged sword, right? Or whatever they say about that. We're selling out every game,
good.
But it's because we can only take so many people.
Yeah, right. So, but you have fans, so that's good.
Yeah. So the women, they're 4-0. They play our coach, Nikki Bartholomew. She's from Lancaster, New York. And tomorrow we're playing Lancaster Inferno from Pennsylvania. Hmm. So she's really, like, I'm really worried about her for that because of the town, you know, pronunciation. And then the men play Cleveland. Well, actually, we're going to Pittsburgh today, I mentioned, and then we're in Cleveland on Sunday, so... Just really excited about that. It's been a lot of fun, and after not, you hear people talk about fans coming back, and like I've actually talked to a Buffalo Bill about this, and just like you can't, even 300 people, 400 people, you can't replicate what it feels like to play in front of a crowd, and it was, especially after a year, we played only 3 away games last year, so to show up and play for a few hundred of people that you know was a really, really special thing. And if I may, I know I've already destroyed your clock, which
This is a new record for us being late, by the way, so don't worry about it.
Oh, I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Franklin's gonna kill us.
Oh, he's got a great name though. I noticed that. What a great flowing
American name. Thank you.
The one thing I did want to say is I am working the Olympics right after the Euro.
Awesome.
For 21 straight days. I'm not going there because, you know, I can't.
Yeah.
But one thing I want to throw out there on the F1 tip, if you will, I met the captain of the handball team, the U.S. handball team, when I worked the last Olympics, and so I started paying closer attention to it. That is one of the most fun sports in the world, and they're actively recruiting like former Division I football and basketball players to just fire giant wingspan shots. So, keep an eye on handball. I think you'll like it.
Thank you, Mr. Mandola, for all your time this morning.
Thanks, Nick. Let's watch a soccer game sometime in the next month.
I'm in. Just all name the time.
All
right. Nick Mandola with us here on a Western Hotline. We'll get a break. Back with more of the show in a moment. WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.